This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the No Nay Never podcast. I'm your host, and this week we are looking back on another home defeat at the hands of Villa. We are talking about the team experiment, what we need to do to get a settled side, if indeed that is necessary at this stage in the season. What is going on defensively? Do we need a left back? Do we need a settled centre-half pairing, or are we being a little bit naive in our early Premier League days? Incoming signings, we've got a quick look at what we think is going to come through the door this week, and then we look at what is next in store for the Pirates. Let's go. So I am joined by the man himself, Rich Steele, regular panellist. Rich, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Natalie. How are you this evening?
I am very well, thank you. I'm very excited about this because we've got a little bit of a technical masterclass coming up, which I'm very excited about. Just you and me. We've binned off the rest of the team. We just decided we were going to fly solo tonight. So let's get straight in there. I guess, as we always do at the top of these shows, without deciding one way or the other which way you land, what was your gut instinct coming off the pitch on Sunday? Did you feel disappointed? Did you feel realistic? Did you feel frustrated? How did you summarise that performance?
Listen, you're always going to be disappointed when you lose a football match, when you lose any game of sport, because you're competitive and you care so much about the club and you want them to win. And you're kind of going into that game knowing it's going to be tough, but easier than Man City. And you're kind of thinking, well, you know what, Villa are a good side. But in the last away game to Newcastle, albeit Newcastle are a very good side, you know, they did look vulnerable. Obviously, when you see the team sheet, the goalkeeper was missing. And you think, right, OK, we can put them under pressure. But I think we found out, you know, just how good the Premier League is, and it is ruthless. You know, you make mistakes, you get caught in the press, you miss a tackle, you know, you defend a little bit naively, which I know we're going to discuss on the show tonight, and you get punished. I know it's not an analysing Aston Villa. I thought John McGinn was outstanding in midfield. I thought Watkins up front was a massive, massive threat. You know, someone who's definitely improved under Emery, and I think Diaby for Villa will be one of the signings of the season. Obviously, he's come from Bayer Leverkusen. I think Teller's got big boots to fill if he's coming in as a replacement for him. He's one of the best players I've seen live in a long, long time. You know, even going back to all our days in the Premier League, you know, people might disagree with me on this. I enjoy watching good football as well. And he actually left the turf and I thought, you know what, he was an absolute joy to watch in some ways. And yeah, there's positives. I thought we played some nice football. We scored a really good goal. We put Aston Villa really under pressure, you know, for 20 minutes, you know, for 15, 20 minutes or so. And it was a real shame that third goal come when it did. It just sapped the life and the energy out of the stadium. And Villa managed the game really well. So there's a lot to improve on. There's positives. But as I mentioned, there is a lot to improve on. And I think, you know, company needs to learn quickly. I think it's become a talking point that you're almost not allowed to criticise company now. And if you do, you know, you see it as kind of, you know, a negative of this bad supporter. And, you know, it's not criticism. It's just looking at the game and analysing it and, you know, seeing where we can improve. And like I said, we've got another really tough home game on Saturday. And I feel we need to just tighten up and be a little bit more pragmatic with our approach.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And what we're going to be looking at today is not just necessarily, this is really bad, we've won, and we've lost, and we need to be picking points up. The reality of our start to the Premier League once the Luton game was postponed is that we've got four games that are horrible. We've got City, Spurs, City, Villa, Spurs and United. It's very likely that we'll be sat on no points after four games and not got anything off the mark yet. And that's the reality to what we're facing with what the fixture gods gave us. Now, on the flip side of that, we've got all of those really difficult games out very early on. There's mixed opinions in our fan base as to whether or not we should realistically be expecting to get some points from these kind of sides. But the reality is that we probably won't. And if we do get anything from those, then it's a bonus. We've got to catch them on a bad day. I think we were looking at this before the game at the weekend, and we started looking at it in terms of levels. So how far down their ranks do you need to get to a team before your best side, your A side, beats them? And I think when you're playing City, Burnley's A game will probably still lose against City's C game. Villa, before the game, I probably would have said, you know, our A game probably should beat Villa's B game. But as we're seeing, some of those mid-table sides in the Premier League have suddenly got very, very, very good. And this is getting to be a very tough league. Let's have a look at those stats then, Rich. Obviously, we know now 3-1, it's the second defeat of the season, second game in a row where we've conceded three goals. This time it took Villa just 8 minutes to get off the mark, with Matty Cash scoring on the 8th and 20th minutes. Burnley brought one back through Lyle Foster, an outstanding goal, actually debut Premier League goal for Lyle on 47 minutes before, as Rich has already said, just 15 minutes later, Diarbe puts them back and restores that two-goal advantage. Possession, actually, Rich, wasn't too bad. Burnley 56.9 to Villa's 43.1. So we actually had a greater share of the possession. Nearly half the amount of shots, Burnley's 9 to Villa's 16. Only two of ours on target, where six of Villa's were on target. We had passing success rate of 88.9. They were 83.7. Just one clear cut chance for us. I'm not going to go through all of the stats, but that's where we are. As you've already mentioned, Rich, it was very much a welcome to reality. And the Burnley defence, which is yet to get a settled personnel, I would suggest, is also experimenting with players playing out of position at left back, were exposed by a very ruthless and very quick Aston Villa counter-attack. You've been looking at this in quite some technical detail, and you've got some concerns about some tactical naivety. Do you think that's fair to say? Certainly with a very high press. Do you want to just kick us off and talk us through how you've analysed where we went wrong defensively?
So obviously, as we can see, this is Aston Villa's first goal, and this is, what, 8 minutes into the game. And you see here, we've got only two of our back four.
Yeah.
In our own half. What's happened here is, just before the clip, Amdouni's give the ball away. So Roberts was in this position. Now Roberts has tried to cover, but because he was in midfield, you've got a massive gap.
Yeah.
At the right side here. And in this play here, Alder Keels tried to press Watkins, but Watkins laid the ball back to McGinn. Watkins has span off Alder Keel, and because Roberts is here as well, you basically got all this grass to run into.
Yeah.
Now, this is where I feel a little bit sorry for Trafford. People are digging Trafford out for this goal, but yeah, Trafford plays a part. He could have been a little bit more decisive, but ultimately the goal comes from Amdouni giving the ball away. Roberts is out of position, trying to get back. Watkins laid the ball off here in the previous clip, and Alder Keel's been spun, because Watkins is quick and strong. Alder Keel's not quite managed to get back to him. And then, as you can see here, Matty Cash, maybe a little bit of kind of inexperience from Belcroix, or getting used to the, you know, the pace of the Premier League, he's just literally just burst past him.
Yeah, so, he's got a lot of space there.
You know, and this is the eighth minute of the game. You know, you've got two players in your own half, and you've got your two defenders pressing this high. You just, if you don't win the ball back here and here, you're absolutely knackered. You're done. You're not going to not concede goals playing this way. Your back four's all over the show. Even if Alder Keel was here, and you let Watkins lay this ball back, you're still defending this space.
So this is
Aston Villa's third goal. So
yeah.
As you can see here, obviously, sorry, We're trying to be a little bit more, we've tried to change it a little bit more second half. So O'Shea and Velkoir, who kind of moved into centre half, and I thought he did better as centre half. They've tried to go a little bit deeper. But again, you can see Roberts is so high, he's out of position because he's been playing this inverted fullback and we've given the ball away. And Alderkeel, once again, has gone to press the player, has gone to press McGinn. And what McGinn's so good at, he did it against Everton. He's so good at turning under pressure. So he's turned Alderkeel. Alderkeel's tried to bring him down. He's not managed to do so. And what's happened once again, Natalie, you've got absolutely acres of grass to run into. And then you've got 19 Diaby who scored. What's happened here is O'Shea, because Alderkeel is out of position, has had to cover the right side. Velkoir's had to go to the middle. And what does that leave Diaby with? A complete free run at goal, and he's got a free shot at the edge of the box. And this, I'm not going to dig Colley O'Shea out because he's a talented young player, but this is an issue with playing a young player. They don't do the defensive work. Now, you look at Gudmundsson, your two wingers aren't level. So you've got Colley O'Shea high up the pitch. Colley O'Shea's back even here, he can then trap Diaby. And again, people are blaming Trafford. You know, maybe he could have done better. But there's so much more passages of play that's gone on that's contributed to that goal. And the main culprit, unfortunately, in both goals is Alderkeel diving in. And if you dive in and if you press this high up the pitch, you've got to win the ball back. Obviously, Kompany's tried to combat it with his dropping his other two centre-halves deeper. But if your winger and maybe your midfielder here in Burge aren't in the same line, then you're asking for trouble. And this is where the team is. And this is where those teething issues come from. Now, this is our goal. Obviously, we're fighting to get back into the game. And when you used to watch a Dyche Burnley team, we used to moan about we didn't get bodies into the box. Now, this is obviously Foster when he's had the shot. So you look at it here, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Burnley players in the box.
Yeah.
And you've got a seventh player on the edge of the box. So essentially, you've got seven players in goal scoring position. So you can see what this Burnley team's trying to do. They're trying to get on the front foot. They're trying to load the box up to give ourselves the most amount of goal scoring opportunities, which is what you want, which under Dyche we was a little bit more pragmatic and we wouldn't have done. So, but the risk and reward, let's say this shot gets blocked and the ball gets out to Cash here. You've only got three out for your player.
And very quick. Yeah. And they're quicker and physically more dominant than we are.
This is doing this analysis, you can see the risk and reward. The reward is that we're trying to get players up the further up the pitch. We're trying to get bodies into the box to score goals. But against your top teams, if you give the ball away and you don't win it on that initial press, and if you dive in and you don't win the ball back, you just get exposed, and teams with pace like Villa will just really hurt you. So it's something that when we play Tottenham, you know, Postecoglou will look at that. He'll have players like Madison, Son. Obviously, Bissouma, who'll play in that John McGinn role, who's an excellent, he does similar to McGinn. He's really good at turning under pressure. So hopefully, when we analyse the game next week, our midfield and our defence maybe aren't quite as high, and we're not leaving ourselves vulnerable to those attacks.
Yeah. In terms of personnel then, I mean, obviously that's quite a specific analysis looking at the goals themselves. One of the criticisms that's been levied, perhaps without the level of such specificity as you bring, is that this tinkering of the side isn't helping, that we're not playing players who featured so heavily in last season's championship campaign, that we have put all and way too many new players in all at once, and there is a lack of togetherness in the side. Do you think that's a fair criticism, or do you see...
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair, but I think I'll have to look back at games. I can't remember games in the Championship where we press that high. Almost feel like it's Kompany trying to make a point that we're Burnley in the Premier League. But again, I'm maybe saying that willy-nilly, and if people want to kind of look back at it, I'd have to look back at maybe some other games and have a look at the press and what we did. I genuinely think that... Maybe if you played like Gudmundsson out wide instead of Colley O'Shea, would you trap back? But say if you played Brownhill instead of Burge. But Cullen on that goal, who just sitting midfielder, was high anyway. So
yeah.
I think it's more the system and the tactics and wanting to do that high press and wanting to be aggressive that have you know, have kind of contributed to our downfall there, really. And I think it's a really hard one. I think on, you know, if we change the personnel, it, you know, you don't know. That hindsight's a wonderful thing. I watch, I'm going to move sport a little bit. I watch a lot of cricket. And if any cricket listeners are listening, Nasser Hussain to me is the best analysis of sport, in my opinion. He's not reactive. He's very analytical. And he always says, you're always a better player when you're out of the team.
Yeah, that's very
so
true.
Everybody will be calling for Brownell to come back in the team, for, I don't know, for Burge not to start, or for, you know, for maybe Ekdal should come in, who's somebody who I would start, or, you know, bring Taylor back in or whatever. Or if Mattson was playing, that wouldn't happen. And don't get me wrong, these are good players, but you're always a better player when you're not in the team.
Yeah, because so, you're the solution. You're the fixer.
You're the solution.
The people that are looking in, yeah, rather
exactly,
than the problem.
And then it's a bit like when, say, like an Everton football club, there's so much going on at boardroom level, and if they just sat the manager, well, you're just putting tape on a hole. You're not actually addressing the bigger picture. And to me, the bigger picture is that I'm not keen on that Roberts in that inverted role. I think when you're a Man City and you don't give the ball away as much, and then if you do got the ball away, you've got absolute animals of defenders like Walker, Akanji, Diaz, who are very, very good defending in one-on-one situations. And we're putting our defenders, who are probably not as quick and as not as... I'm not... Alderkeel is quick, but he's, you know, compared to Watkins, he got bullied, didn't he? Like McGinn, he got bullied by him. He wasn't
There was a physicality as well in terms of...
And I'm not necessarily... You know, by the way, doing this analysis, I'm not digging players out. I am not. It's just an observation of...
Yeah.
It's almost
where we are. Yeah, we
you know,
need to
it's what we've been told to do. And I just think... I think, hopefully, he looks at this, and against the better teams, I think we just need to be a little bit more pragmatic. A little bit more, you know, stay in the game a little bit longer, because essentially we've been 2-0 down before our time, and, you know, you're climbing Everest at that point against good teams. And like you said, it was such a shame Villa got that goal back. And you can see what Alderkeel's trying to do. He's trying to press him again, keep the pressure on, win the ball back and get the turnover. But as soon as you get done on the counter, you know, that's it then.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Would I change personnel? Probably, yeah. I wouldn't change too much, because I think if you're changing too much, then it's too much change, you know, and then you're just changing everything. But
and then you're still in the same position.
Yeah, I think some of the criticism of Burge has been unfair so far, but he's still learning the system. But I don't think I'm contradicting myself by saying this. I think he'll be a really good player for us. I would actually bring Brownell for Burge against Tottenham. And, yeah, just a bit more leadership. Again, I'm going to get criticised for this. Colly Osho is a very exciting young player, but you see for the defensive side of the game, he's not quite ready. I'd bring Gudmundsson in for Colly Osho. I'd still like to start Benson, because I think he's still our best winger, even though it didn't work for him. If Ekdal's fit, I'd like to start Ekdal, because I just think he's more solid. And I just like us to drop a little bit, just drop 10 yards and not defend on the halfway line.
You know what question I am going to ask you, though, don't you? The controversial one. Keeper.
Go on.
Keeper.
I think the criticism's been unfair on him. I do. Do I think he's ready? It's a really hard one. Some of the criticism, it's like people are writing off players.
I've got no time for it at all. Are you insane?
Jesus, people were writing Mattson off last season. You know, Zaruri's first two games, he started against Coventry and he wasn't very good. And then, you know, So it's kind of like Benson. It took him a while to settle, didn't it, last season? So I've tried to learn my lesson from that. I think we all do. I can kind of think, you know, you've got to try and give players time. So going back to your question, would I start Muric? It's a difficult one. Muric isn't this, like, like, don't get me wrong, he's entertaining, but when the Premier League, you know, is...
We've no idea how he's going to be in the Premier
everything's
League.
Quick, you know, and look how long it took Muric to adapt last season, and Muric give goals away. So it's a very difficult one, but I think when you look at that and you break the game down, Trafford's been left horribly exposed by his defence, like really exposed. And, you know, he's a young lad, he's learning his way. And sometimes you've got to, company said, you've got to suffer a little bit of pain, you know, to short-term pain, long-term gain. And I think that's company's goals. Now, there's an argument of you've got to pick for now, you've not got to pick for the future because there's such thing as relegation in the Premier League and you don't want to get too far behind, especially with the start we've got. I think we've got Nottingham Forest in between that United game.
We do, yeah, away, the league.
I'm pretty sure we play them in the league as well.
Oh, do we? I hadn't realised that.
I'm pretty sure we do. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we do. So that could be an opportunity. So it's a really difficult one. It's a really difficult one, you know, with that personnel. And listen, you've got a young lad there. Imagine what it'd do for his confidence if you just whip him out after two games.
Yeah, it's really tough, isn't it?
You know, listen, you've got to back people. You know, you've got to back people in sport. I'm going to go back to cricket again. And I'm going to, again, sorry, because this is a football podcast and people might not have a clue what I'm talking about. But the England management
Which is
and,
fine.
The England cricket, and the England cricket team, they picked a player in Zach Crawley. Everybody else saying, drop him, he's useless. But they picked him on potential and he was the leading run scorer in the Ashes.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've got to, if you believe in people and you believe they're going to be really successful for you in the longer term and they'll win more matches than they'll lose for you, you've got to keep picking them and you've got to stick with them. And for me, Trafford is somebody who I'll put my neck on the line. He will be England's number one goalkeeper in 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to stick with him.
And he's got a higher ceiling than Muric. And it's frustrating. We all want to win. Maybe is he quite ready? Possibly not. But was Mattson ready at the start of last season? Was Zerubi ready? Was Benson ready? No. And look at the rewards we did get back from them.
Yeah. So. Okay, love it. So, given that obviously Villa have proven to be the step up in terms of their own ability that was predicted before the season, I admit I scoffed a little bit when I heard people talking about them pushing for top four.
Well, George did, didn't he? George said top four, said Newcastle won't get top 10 and they've lost two games. Newcastle are in the bottom half.
Villa look to me Villa to be stronger good, yeah. than Newcastle did last year, which is really great. So, you know, maybe there is a little bit of a fan worry to think of, we should be closer to Villa than we are because they're the teams we've got a chance of beating. There has been a mid-table step up in the Premier League where the ones who finish in the top 10 are a hell of a lot stronger than they were in previous years. So we need to be focusing on being the best of the bottom 10. And I still see in both of the sides we've played so far, I've still seen pockets of real excellence, which I think will really shine against the bottom teams. And we've got to be realistic about the fact that there are some of our competitors that will be at the bottom of the league this season who have lost 2-3 games against winnable opposition and games that they should be trying to pick points up. So we're still in a stronger position than them at the moment. But where, obviously, I'm not going to ask you to start being, you know, what's that I'm looking for, defeatist or too excitable. But surely, like, this is not a level to be concerned. There's a lot of fans being scared. Now, surely we just say, you know what, two tough tests. We'll see where we are after 10.
Yeah, listen, like I said, I think it's just you want to win. So people kind of, especially after a game, you react emotionally and then you calm down a little bit, don't you? And then you start looking at the game from different angles. You know, I always said at the start of the year, 14th, 15th. I said my prediction was 14th, which is in that bottom six. You know, some people, you know, they might, you know, and I'm not saying we won't, we're saying top half, which I thought was a bit optimistic. Even if you look at the Premier League table now, the bottom seven could well be the bottom seven as it is. You know, it's tough, it's hard, it gets better every year. I seen, you know, Fulham are signing Luis Ocampos. I think I've said his name right. You know, Luis Ocampos and Fulham are a team that you're kind of thinking, you know, you should be winning. Ocampos is someone who's won the UEFA Cup twice, just played in the Super Cup, had 11 caps for Argentina. Everyone talking about how much Everton's in the mud, and they've just gone and signed someone for 30 million.
Yeah, exactly.
A striker.
Yeah.
You know, and this is kind of, you know, this is the, you know, this is the competition you're up against. You know, Forrest have just signed the guy who scored the winning penalty for Argentina in the World Cup, Montiel, the right back, who it's tough. You know, players are leaving top sides in other top leagues. You know, they're leaving top sides in La Liga, the French league, Bundesliga, to come and play for mid-table Premier League clubs. And that's where
be.
The challenge is. And, you know, and people as well have got a right to be, you know, a little bit concerned about where this money's coming from. And obviously we're going to go over 100 million, but that is the bare minimum, especially because we lost loan players that you need to spend just to compete.
Yeah.
Aston Villa spent astronomical amounts of money in the first season and they had Grealish and they come 17th. Forrest spent, I think Forrest went a bit too far, but they spent a lot of money and just had to stay up. Sometimes you've just got to stay up in that first season.
Yeah,
and then
see
you can
where
keep
we get
building.
To. Yeah, definitely.
And I do believe, I think, listen, you can't just rely on taking points from the bottom clubs all the time because you might lose by a goal here and there. And, you know, there's going to be a time where you need to pick up a win or two against maybe the top eight. But I think we are suited, the way we play in the press and the aggressive style is more suited to play in the bottom teams. I'd be surprised if Luton and Sheffield United don't come 19th and 20th. Listen, football, obviously we've looked at Luton, they've had two tough away games, so I think them playing at Kenilworth Road will give us a better indication. I'm looking forward to watching them on Friday night. But for me, there's so many teams who could take that 18th spot. And
there's at least five, right?
Yeah, probably. And we'll do this podcast maybe in 10 games time when we're properly into the season. We could be like 13th, 14th. And you know what? We're going to be okay. So it's just, you know, it's just back in the Prem, you're anxious. You want to get that first win on the board. But if we lost, if we carried on playing the way we did first half and we ended up losing that game 3-4-0, 4-0, 5-0, I'd have been more worried. But the way we played second half, and especially that 15
that
minutes.
That 15 minutes was amazing.
We were fantastic and the crowd got up in the atmosphere and I think the way Foster played. I think we might move on to signings. I still think we're going to make signings through the door. So I'm confident that we will have enough to stay up. With Pete, and again, I said this on one of our pre-season shows. I said, we'll take some batterings, but we'll get some really good wins the way we play. And I think I've analysed that tonight and I still stick to that prediction that, we'll get some tonkings, but we'll go off the turf as well. Really happy that we put in some really good performances.
Yeah, no, completely agree. So as you alluded to a minute ago, Rich, we are expecting three, possibly four signings to come through the door this week. One of those is, of course, Ian Maatsen back on loan from Chelsea. Another one is, is Origi? Is that how you pronounce it? Origi?
Divock Origi.
Thank you. As a striker, so that's obviously going to solve our striking problems. And then the other player we have been linked with is Trezor from Genk. Any of those excite you? Any of those not quite there? Is that sufficient? What are your thoughts on the incomings, please, Rich?
You know, as we mentioned before, Natalie, I think the left-back's a glowing hole, isn't it? I think if we only got another quality left-back in before the end of the window, I think we can consider that a successful window. And listen, Maatsen's just perfect, isn't he? He knows the system. You know, we highlighted him before. He's somebody who got better and better and better. He's obviously got a very high ceiling to where he can go. And he's a player I really enjoy watching, actually. I think he's terrific to watch. I just love his energy. He's just got so much energy and he can run for 90 minutes. He's got so much quality on the ball. Sees a great pass. He's got a goal in him. And I think he definitely could make the step up. I don't think it's going to be an easy deal to do. Obviously, the Chelsea want to let him go permanently. That's up to them. You know, obviously they let Lewis Hall go, who's a left back, to Newcastle. The talk of Cucurella possibly going to Man United. You know, maybe we could do a buyback deal like we did with Ramsey.
Yeah.
But for him to come on loan, because he's in the last year of his contract, he has to sign a new deal at Chelsea. So that adds a further complication to it. So he's got to sort out wages and everything. So I don't think it's going to be easy, but fingers crossed we get it done. But we desperately need a left back. We really do need a left back. Like,
we really,
just
really do.
A massive, blurring, obvious hole to the team. It's you've seen in the first two games, it's disrupted the whole balance of the team. He tried Velkovic at left back, who looked off the pace, if I'm being honest. At left back, he looked better at centre half, and then he moved to centre half, and you put Alder Keel at full back, and he struggled second half. So he kind of did get disjointed. Mike Trezor, I've watched him a couple of times since we got linked to him in the Champions League, and he's a really exciting player for me. Yes, of course, there is a big difference between the Belgium League and the the Premier League. But, you know, we signed Benson, Zaruri, Alder Keel, these players, you know, from the Belgian League. None of them were even mentioned in the same button. You know, when I, like you said, you read scout reports on Trezor, and a lot of players are like, well, if he goes to Burnley, like, and I don't take this personally, but, like, no disrespect to Burnley, he could be going to a higher level club.
Yeah.
And I always see that as a positive. And
definitely.
It seemed like he's been company's target all along. He seemed like he wants to come. And obviously, it looks like we're going to do a loan to an obligation to buy, which helps us with the fee, helps us with FFP. It's a really good, clever way of doing it. So I think we've signed a lot of these. Listen, we have signed wingers, and if you can understand the argument of do we need another winger and whatnot, but I think he's a higher caliber than what we've got so far. And I think it really will make a difference. He's not somebody for the future. He's somebody for the here and now who can really step in. Origi is a funny one. You know, when you watch Origi for Liverpool, he was a bit part player, but he scored the second goal that sealed the Champions League for Liverpool. And he came up with some really big moments, some really big, you know, goals for Liverpool. And Liverpool fans love him. He's not quite done it at AC Milan. But, you know, you're talking about signing a player from Liverpool and AC Milan. And
when were
if someone said this to us, if someone said to us 2 or 3 years ago we were signing somebody like him, you know, it'd been like your main signing, and I think that's a good thing because it's shown how far we've come as a club, that it's like, okay, Origi's through the door, and listen, he's gonna have quality, he's gonna have class. It's just if Origi comes in, where does he play? I don't, you know, do it. Obviously, Foster's been great as a number nine. He's been the real positive to the start of the season.
Yeah,
so. I think if Origi comes in, he'll have to earn his place. Or do you look at then maybe dropping Foster into a number 10 where he can link up play and play in Origi as a proper striker? So, listen, it's exciting. I'm really excited about all these players. There are a couple where you think, you know, did we need to sign Redmond? Did we really need to? And I thought Brun Larsen looks okay when he's coming.
Yeah,
he's good, but is he going to play? That's the big difference. Is he going to play? Is Redmond going to play enough? But I suppose the loans and the free signings, and we've clearly seen from last year, company likes to stockpile in that position because he wants as many options as possible. At the end of the day, to win football matches, you've got to score goals, so you need as much creativity as possible on the pitch and to bring off the bench.
Good. Excellent. So, final point then before we let our listeners go. The Cup this week, we are having a break from the Premier League. We're playing Forest away in the League Cup. You know me, love a cup run. I do too. Is this a nice enough distraction in these early starts of the season? Just give us take a little bit of the pressure off and just feel a bit better.
And it's another good gauge to see where we're at. I know we won't. Maybe because he wants to see other players, but you're looking at all this bedding in period. I'd like him to play his strongest team against Forest tomorrow, not just for the reason to get through. We need this team gelling quickly, and what a better opportunity to, you know, get your first 11 on the pitch, and you know, and it could, if there's another game of few mistakes, it can be, it can be right. Okay, we need to iron that out. I don't think that'll happen, and obviously, I understand the argument of burnout and. You know, and different things like that. But Jesus, we've only played two games in 2 weeks. I can't see the players being burnt out. And then we play Tottenham and then we've got international break after that. I think I'm right. We've got international break after Tottenham.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, so the players aren't going to burn out if you play your strongest side. You know, maybe with a couple of different players coming in who you think can affect it. But like I said, you know, we want a cup run, don't we? You know, you want to get into a habit of winning football matches. know, we, the more you win, the better you get. Let's say, you know, we go again and, you know, we get hammered 3-0 against Forest. It's just going to be more doom and gloom in it, really, which is, you know, which is not what we want.
No, so, definitely not. Well, let's see where we're at then. We'll have a look at the weekend and see how we fared in that cup game and how our game against Spurs goes. That is all we're going to cover this week's podcast. Listeners, if you are watching on YouTube, it would be really great if you... Sorry, Mr. B has decided to get crushed. Get out of
distracted it. Distracted by Mr. B and the cats.
This is cats just the most ridiculously in. Unprofessional. You're on video. Get out. I'll start that again. Okay, that is all we're going to cover then in this week's episode. For those of you watching on YouTube, it would be great if you could subscribe and turn your notifications on. It does help the channel grow. And for those of you who are listening on audio, do please hit that subscribe button through your usual podcast provider. We will be back, I think, on Friday with the previous show. Dave and I will be looking ahead to that game against Spurs. And we will be back next week with analysis for both the Forest game in the Cup and the League game. This has been the Known and Ever podcast. I've been Natalie Bromley. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The Analysis Show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.